going to call to order the policy committee meeting of the Evansville Metropolitan Planning Organization. Just a reminder, folks, when you make a motion or you second it, do something so that the folks out there can recognize who's doing it. We're missing who's making the motions and who's seconding them because we can't distinguish on the microphone all the time. And make sure your microphone's on, of course. Okay. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Got that, guys? Okay. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Old business, project update, Laura.
Okay, let's start off with the City of Evansville's Washington Avenue, Weinbach Avenue intersection improvement. According to NDOT's website, the proposed letting date has been pushed back to December 10th of this year. The city is still working on right-of-way acquisition.
And that's the reason for the delay?
That's probably a good reason for it, yes.
Okay.
Page 2 for the Pigeon Creek Greenway Passage, the State Road 66 Wood Expressway pedestrian overpass. This project has been added to NDOT's website with a proposed letting date of December 10th of this year. For the combined Evansville-Vandenberg County sign inventory and replacement project, both the city and county sign replacement projects have been added to NDOT's website with proposed letting dates of February 4th of next year. And this is for sign installations. For the T-Couple Safe Routes to School project, the project has been added to the website with a proposed letting date of March 4th of next year. For Vandenberg County and the Burkhart Road, Regina Street intersection improvement, the consultant is working on finalizing right-of-way acquisition. The project is currently scheduled for letting on September 10th of this year. For the Green River Road widening from Millersburg to Kansas, construction is underway and the contract completion date is currently set at June 1st of next year. For the Maryland Street Bridge over Pigeon Creek, bids will be opened May 13th, and if acceptable, the contract will be awarded May 20th. For the town of Newburgh and Newburgh Sign Replacement Project, NDOT is abandoning the forced account approach for project execution. Therefore, this project will be resubmitted as an RFP and go through the normal bid letting process. Moving on to page 4 in NDOT projects, we have the U.S. Highway 41 Lloyd Expressway Interchange project. At the letting date in January, all bids came in over the engineer's estimate. NDOT is working closely with the City of Evansville to make the contract more successful when it is rebid, which is scheduled for August of this year. Ongoing preparation work, including demolition and utility relocation, will continue until the contract is awarded and full-scale construction begins. The anticipated date that the modified interchange will open to traffic has not changed and is scheduled for the fall of 2015.
Do we know what they're doing now, will that involve moving the bridge, or is the bridge part of this bid that has to be made? Do we know? Pedestrian bridge, yeah. Thanks. Okay, go ahead.
Moving on to page 5 for the City of Henderson. This is their Green River Road project from Osage Drive to Woods Point Drive. The project has been posted for bids with the response date set for May 13th. And those are all the updates I have. Are there any questions or discussion about those or any others?
Thank you, Laura. Aaron, it looks like you're next.
Last month, we brought the draft transportation alternatives program application to you for review. We did not receive any comments or questions, so we have not made any changes to application. The application that you have in your packet is the same that you received last month. And once this application is approved, we will send out a call for projects later this month. And then we'll come back in the June meeting to update everyone on where the call is at that point. And we have almost completed the application guidelines that go along with the application. I do have a copy of it with me now in case anyone wants to see it afterwards. And we will have that complete at the time that the application is, or the, we send the call out for projects. So I guess with that, we request your approval for CHAP application. And it was approved this morning.
Any questions? And entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Aaron. Moving on to new business. Item A, the Town of Chandler requests to amend the bylaws and be placed on this board. Is Brian Lucas here? Or Rob Coghill? We have extended them the opportunity to come to technical committee. They have passed up that opportunity. We've asked them to submit any projects they would like for us to help them with, and they've passed on that project. I'm going to table that item, but we can have some discussion on it if you'd like before we table it. It seems to me if they were interested, they'd be here.
Yeah.
Yes, Debbie.
Mr. Chairman, this letter, this March 16th, they sent us this letter, and then you responded, and they didn't respond back. That's been, okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood.
They did respond. They asked to be put on the board. That was their response. Is this the one you're looking at? Yeah. Your microphone's off. Turn on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did anyone respond to this letter, the March 6th? You did?
Yes, we did. We responded to the letter and told them that we're going to put them on the agenda, and we request that they be here if they need any questions to be asked.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that... Okay, I don't know then.
I thought we can get you the copy of the letter if you want.
I say we've also extended the opportunity for the past year to come to a technical committee and voice their ideas, and
I so wish
far
they
we've
would.
Gotten no response.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I just know that, I don't know if anyone else had noticed, but that the widening as you go into Chandler, was that an NDOT project? Was it?
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of flooding. The flooding in Chandler, it seems like there's a lot of flooding. It just seems like it would be a no-brainer for them to participate. So it's kind of confusing if they would continue. So.
Well, they can participate without being a member of the board. And my fear is that if we would make them a member of the board, then Darmstadt would want to be a member of the board and every other small operation would want to be on the board. The last time it took 2 years when we added someone to the board because it's somewhat of a lengthy proposition. But anyway, we'll table that for the time being. Go. Okay. Microphone. Oh. Yeah, you're on.
Two other counties on the MPO now, other than Vanderbilt, is Warwick and Hampshire.
That's correct.
Warwick has two members, and Mr. Cannon. If we change the sound settings, and maybe, I don't think it's done, but if we give the Warren three votes, Commissioner has two, maybe that could be a little bit lopsided. So, as it stands now, you're gonna ask us, Mr. Chairman, to adopt these bylaws as presented, correct?
Right.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments, questions? We've tabled the item this time. Moving on. Carrie, I think you have the next three items, right?
As Russell had mentioned, you have the bylaws, the draft bylaws, in your packet. And we do seek review of this for this month, and we'd like to approve it in June. The last update to the bylaws was approved in 1991 and consisted of one page. The certification review report completed in February 2013 by Federal Highway, the EPA, and Federal Transit Administration recommended that we update our bylaws. And the bylaws update is an element to be completed in the Unified Planning Work Program in fiscal year 2014. Which goes through June 30th of this year. We created this new document by reviewing other MPO bylaws. We looked at several regulations, such as the Indiana Open Door Law and other federal and state regulations for government agencies and non-for-profits. The copy in your packet today is slightly different than what was sent out last Thursday. We just addressed some minor editing, such as some fonts and a couple of grammar where we left out some colons and we took out parentheses. So if you do want to review these and you do have comments on them, please make sure you look at this copy that I've presented to you guys today. Does anyone have any questions on the current bylaws or the draft bylaws?
No.
That's okay. Oh, sure. No, that's okay.
I have a question. And
sure.
And I guess I didn't mean to argue for them to be. I just thought it was odd that they would ask and then not appear, at their opportunity. Could I get a copy of the, I know you said the ones from 1991 are just one page. I see those. I just wanted to look at them. Is there anything significant? I mean, obviously these have a lot more content, but did you change anything really about the old bylaws?
We didn't really change anything materially, although we did add in, actually, I'm going to give you our Articles of Agreement as well, because I believe what was in our original Articles of Agreement should have been in our bylaws instead of that. So in our Articles of Agreement, I believe that's back when we only had maybe 7 members on our policy board. So this new bylaws brings our policy membership up to 13 to be more current. So that is the main change that we had, and that's the main reason why we're updating these. And
those don't have a lot in them. So. No, it makes sense, though, that your articles include everything that's missing in those bylaws. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All right, Carrie, item C.
Okay. We have, there's copies of the audit in your packet as well. It was filed April 8th of this year. Page 24 shows all the different grants we received and were audited for our fiscal year end for fiscal year 2013. So we did have 13 grants this year totaling over $1 million. And normally we have about 8 grants, so this was significantly more. And then also there was no matters are reportable is what the audit said.
Apparently you've been more successful than the city. Any questions? Moving on. Item D, Carrie.
Okay. You also have a copy of the budget, the proposed budget in your packet, a budget trend sheet, and a sheet explaining the changes in the budget from the previous year. These are all the same values that were approved last month for the fiscal year 2015 UPWP. There is one exception. Henderson is participating in the regional pavement management process, so we're really excited about that. So KYTC has approved $100,000 in Kentucky PL discretionary funding for Henderson to use in this project. And the City of Henderson and Henderson County will be sharing the $25,000 local match for it. So the budget is increased by $125,000 to accommodate this project. And also there's no increases in the local shares from the previous 5 years. And one thing I wanted to note, in our bylaws, I did put some definitions in there between a local share and a local match, because I know there's always a lot of confusion with that. A local match is like if you have a construction project or you have a special project that needs a match, that's the non-federal share portion. So that's a local match. And the local share is the portion for our operating, our non-federal share for our operating costs for our annual PL, our planning funds that we receive. So if you look on the second page, that's what the budget will look like. We're just asking for a review of this month, and then we'd like it to be approved at our June 5th meeting because our fiscal year begins July 1st. So, and I tried to break it down again just between operating expenses and then our special projects expenses. So if you look in the blue column, almost at the very end of the table, it says operating subtotal, $906,182. So that number has not changed from the UPWP, and all those numbers above it are all, you've seen these for the past 3 or 4 months. It's just the numbers that are below that, those are our special project expenses, and this is what the consultants get paid for those projects. So that's our Mets COA project, our air quality television show with WNIN that's using CMAC, our Evansville Bicycle Pedestrian Master Plan, and the Regional Pavement Management Program. And then on to the left is the revenues, and I did break it out a little bit more this year as opposed to last year. So you can see where it says general federal funds at the top, the 15-4520, all of those are all planning funds that we use for operating. And then the second table, it says special projects, federal funds. Those are all the federal funds that we're receiving to do the regional pavement management in the Evansville Bicycle Pedestrian Plan. The third table on there is the local shares. So that's the section that has not changed for the past, we haven't raised the price for the past 5 years. That's the local match for us to do our operating and to match our PL funds. And then the last part is the local match, and that's what I was saying. That's the non-federal share to match those federal funds for those special projects that don't happen annually. These are just, they just happen every once in a while. And then if you go to the second page, that's just our normal operating expenses. So I cut that out at the $906,000. And all of this is a change from last year's 2014 to this proposed 2015. The ones on the bottom where it starts with audit, those those reasonings were all in the trend reports for the UPWP that that I passed out in the packets the past 2 months. And then the other ones, the ones above there, those are broken out a little bit more than what they were in the UPWP packet. And then the very last page, this is these are our actual budgets from 2010 through 2014, and then our proposed budget for 2015. And I didn't break out the income at the top, but at the bottom for the expenses, I pulled out all the consulting expenses because those change every single year. So you can look at the base operating subtotals and maybe have a better understanding of the trend from each year instead of looking at 2014 and seeing that our total for 2014 was $958,000, and then we're jumping to $1,962,000 this year. Does anyone have any questions on this?
No questions.
You're welcome.
Anything else? All right. Back to item B under old business, item A under new business. I think I'm supposed to, I kind of remiss there. I think I need a motion to table that.
Motion to table.
And I need a second. Right. All those in favor, any discussion before we do that? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you all. I'll try to do better next time. Carrie, you got other business number A?
In your packets.
Third quarter?
Yep. You also have the third quarterly reports for Indiana and Kentucky. These were performed January 1st through March 31st. And it's just a project update status, sort of what Laura does, except it's for what we do in the office for our traffic counts. For example, in Indiana, we took 147 traffic counts. And so you can read through these, and we do have one for Indiana and one for Kentucky. And if you have any questions on any of those, you can definitely call our office and we can discuss those projects.
Questions? Okay. Subdivision. Laura?
All right, we have one subdivision tonight. This is Kenway Park. It's an 18-acre, 78-lot residential subdivision on the north side of Heckle Road, just east of Oak Hill Road in Vandenberg County. And I will say here that this may look familiar because it came as a rezoning in the past. It was, I believe it was in June or July of last year, and it was proposed as a 296-unit apartment complex. That rezoning was denied, and now they are subdividing the ground as a residential subdivision. The property is currently undeveloped farm ground. The proposed ballpark is located adjacent to the east. The westernmost access was aligned with Pebblestone Drive and Keystone Subdivision, as we requested in the rezoning, the original comments for the rezoning. Heckle Road is being proposed for widening by the county to 3 lanes and sidewalks on at least one side of the road. In our discussion with the developer, they expressed their intent to ask for a waiver of sidewalks in the subdivision, and our recommendation is that sidewalks should not be waived.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's the only subdivision that I have. Are there any questions about that?
The sidewalks are all on half the street?
In the subdivision,
yeah.
Or on Heckle Road?
On the subdivision.
Well, If they ask for a waiver, they intend to ask for a waiver of sidewalks completely. They could potentially ask for a partial waiver and do sidewalks on one side of the street. As we know now, or at least we think, on Heppel Road, they're planning to put sidewalks on one side of the road, and they believe that's going to be on the north side, which would be adjacent to this property. We have the ballpark adjacent to that, and then I believe that there is a trail proposed, the bike ped tip trail at Green River Road. So we have a lot of reasons to ask for sidewalks to be installed.
Will this have to be rezoned, or is it already?
No, it's zoned, I believe, agricultural. If not, it's single-family residential. They didn't get the multifamily zoning.
They were trying to go from single to multi.
Correct.
Originally, and they got turned down, so now they're going back to the same.
Right. It might be, but I'm not sure that that's a good reason.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I believe they're one and the same, but I'm not positive about that. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Can you, what's sort of the power of this body in terms of when you say you don't think sidewalks should be waived, who will actually waive them?
For this area, it would be the county commissioners.
Okay. And so we'll make a recommendation then.
Yes, we make a recommendation, that's correct. Since it's a subdivision, it will go to the Area Plan Commission Board for their recommendation, but the sidewalk waiver is actually under the County Commissioner's control.
Okay. And I guess then just a comment, I know that there's all sorts of issues related to sidewalks, and often I know that as a city when we annex and that whether you like it or not, when it has happened, we've often been left with residential areas that don't have sidewalks because they were originally a waiver, even in my neighborhood. And I live over by the Robert Stadium site. I live on a block that has sidewalks of three sides, you know, but that fourth. And so I've got two that turned four yesterday. It's when we ride our bikes, you know, when we ride around the block, you have to go out into the street on that one. And so
right.
I do see the value and also sort of the long-term planning, you know, for school buses where sidewalks don't exist, you
right.
know, they have to ride a bus, you know, even when they're otherwise very close to the school. So I think as a planning perspective, I agree with you, you know, long-term.
Thank you.
The county rewrote the ordinance after I wrote it for the city many years ago. They put a waiver in. When I wrote it for the city, there is no waiver. So, and that was one of the reasons, was that we were taking in areas that had no sidewalks and then turning around having to put the sidewalks in. So,
President, I may be all wet, but didn't we not just have the 2040 plan that talks about neighborhoods and sidewalks and all of that? Didn't that all we just invest a number of dollars into understanding how this important it is to neighborhoods to have inclusive of sidewalks? And I would think that if we were making a recommendation, just in my opinion, that would also be factored in, that if we're projective and we've invested this type of money, I think we ought to take that in consideration and not consider waivers in place of, if you're developing a subdivision, you ought to have inclusive sidewalks. And then they already talked about there's a bike path near there and pedestrian paths. So I think those ought to be inclusive, in my opinion.
Well, there was an ongoing argument in the county when we passed that ordinance that some of the subdivisions were large lots, and they would have to put in a sidewalk that went nowhere. And that was why they had included the waiver factor. But I'd had my way back then, which I didn't. I would have not. I would have said no waivers, but we did get that in the city, but not in the county. Any other questions? Seeing none, is there any public comment? I would entertain a motion to approve bills. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. I need a couple of signatures. There being no other business, we're adjourned.